All right. Anyway, we're live. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It is the 5th of June, 2022. And it's been told to me that this month is LGBTQ plus month. The Apple calendar told me that. Whether I want that Apple calendar to tell me that or not, I don't get a choice. It's in my face. Homosexuality month. What a horrible, horrible thing to pronounce and celebrate and shove down people's throats. It used to be people got objected when you shoved somebody else's morality down their throat. And here it is, Apple, the corporate giants, shoving their morality down my throat. And they think that's perfectly okay. And in fact, demanded by them. And so you've got this entire corporate apparatus, government apparatus, jamming down essentially something evil down people's throats, and they're calling it good. And as I've said before, we've been going through the Holy Scriptures over the last year and a half, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews, and then we started Genesis at the beginning of this year, 2022. And we finished Genesis 17 last week. We're starting off with Genesis 18 this week. And the good news for us is as we enter June, we're also hitting Genesis 19. And what is the story of Genesis chapter 19? Why, it's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're going to learn about Sodom and Gomorrah today. So if you got your Bibles open, we're going to start off with the story of starting off with Abraham. And it all connects between Abraham, the Lord, the angels, Lot, Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Lot's wife. And as we're going through this, what I'd like you to particularly think about, I mean, there's a couple of groups of people that are going to be listening here today. One is, of course, Christians. And by and large, you know, every once in a while we'll get somebody out there that's an anti. I'll just call them an anti. And you can take the story of Sodom and Gomorrah as being a moral tale against homosexuality, which is all true, which is all absolutely true. And we will get into that. God personally intervened to utterly destroy that culture, that civilization, that urban area. Personally intervened and wiped it out with fire and brimstone. Yet at the same time, in my opinion, there's a bigger story here. And it's the story of Lot. And if I wanted to title this message, I would say, don't be like Lot. Don't be like Lot. Guess who's been like Lot? Me. I've been the biggest Lot there ever was. I've been the biggest Lot there ever was. So I'm, you know, like I always do, I preach to myself. Don't be like Lot. Repent. I'm trying to repent. I don't want to be like Lot anymore. All right. But we're going to start off with Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 1. Now the Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre. One of these days I'm going to do a study on the oaks of Mamre. I'm not sure what they what they're all about. But it's pretty awesome that there's these large oaks there in an area that we now know today is rather dry. So the Lord appeared. Who's the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. All right, pre-incarnation. Remember, John 1, Hebrews 1, Jesus Christ is the creator. He is around in the beginning with God. And so when the Lord appears to mankind in a physical form, that's Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. So the Lord appears to Abraham while he was sitting by his tent door in the heat of the day. When Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, there were standing opposite him three men. There's three men there. He knows these men are different. He knows they're not normal men. One is Jesus Christ pre-incarnation, and two are angels. So Abraham approached them, and he bowed down, and he says, my Lord. So he recognizes Jesus Christ. He's met this man before. And he says, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. And what does Abraham do? He brings them water. He washes their feet. He makes them bread cakes. He gets a nice, juicy young calf and has it butchered to feed them and brings them curds and milk. He treats them like kings. He treats them like lords. He gives them the utmost hospitality that he can, and he personally serves them. Abraham is a servant of the Most High God. Not just in a spiritual sense, but in a practical, physical sense. He serves his Lord. He cooks for him. He cleans for him. And these men, they asked, they said, where's Sarah? Where's Sarah, your wife? Now, if you remember, Sarah had never had it. She's old. She's an old woman by now. She's never had any kids. And God told Abraham, listen, you're going to be the father of many, many, many nations. But your descendancy, the promised children are not going to be through Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of Abraham and an Egyptian woman, a Hamitic person. And the Lord said, nope, that ain't it. He said, I'll bless him. I'll make him many nations. But that's not the son of the promise. And Abraham's going, Lord, we've been talking about this for nigh on 25 years. His story starts when Abraham was about 25 years old. He emerges on the scene in his own right, as opposed to a son of his father, Terah. And he says, Lord, 25 years later, I got a kid. I got my own kid. His name's Ishmael. That ain't it. Can't that be it? And the Lord says, no, that can't be it. So these guys show up again. God's been talking about this child of promise. He still doesn't have this child of promise. I'd get frustrated. I'd get impatient. And she says, yeah, she's here. She's in the tent. And so they're telling him she's going to have a son. She's going to have a son. And Sarah's laughing to herself. Right. I'm like 90 years old. I can't bear kids anymore. My husband's 99. What do you mean I'm going to have a kid? And she's laughing in the tent. Verse 12, Sarah laughed herself, saying, I've become old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed be with child when I am an old? And then the Lord God immediately says, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? But at this time next year, you shall have a son. And when the Almighty says something, all of creation bends to his will. When the Almighty says something, all of creation bends to his will. If God says, you will have a son at this time next year, all of creation changes to accommodate his spoken command. Genesis 18, verse 6. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. All right? So, now, in the story of Abraham and Lot, we see where Lot and Abraham settled. Lot looked and saw with his eyes a land that was good, and he went there. Abraham said, no, I'm going to stay up here. I know God's promised me this land. So the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking with Abraham, and the angels are there with him. And they get done speaking and promising that Sarah's going to have a kid. Then the men rose up from there, and they looked down from the hill country towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Abraham had just showed them the utmost in hospitality. And we'll see how Lot shows hospitality to the same angels, but there's a very different outcome. Here we have a story where Abraham is promised a son by his wife, Sarah. Sarah is very, very important. The child could not come by any woman. It had to be a specific woman. It had to be Sarah. Hagar was not appropriate for the child of promise. Verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and a mighty nation, and in him all of the earth shall be blessed. So the Almighty shows his prophets what is to come. Abraham was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. David was a prophet. Saul prophesied. These are even men. These aren't ministers of the gospel. These are just men called of God, chosen of God. And God shows these men what's going to happen. Abraham was a shepherd of flocks, and he dwelt in tents. He didn't have a profession as a religious man. The guy said, nope, he's my man. He's called, he's chosen, he's anointed for his purposes in life. I'm going to show him what's going to come upon the earth. And there's a prophet, I don't know where it is, but it says, does the Lord do anything without showing his prophets ahead of time? So God's showing Abraham what's going to happen to Sodom. All right, here's the Lord continuing to speak about Abraham. For I have chosen Abraham so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord in doing righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about. So God chose Abraham, not just for himself, not just for, oh, Abraham, I like you. You know, I'm going to give you a little blessing in your life. No, no. He says, I've chosen him to train up his household after him, his children and his household, all that he influences, all that he is responsible for, not just his own biological children, but all of his employees, everybody in his household. Remember, when the command to get circumcised went out, it wasn't just to Abraham and his biological descendants. It was to everybody in his household, including the slaves, whether born in his house or acquired. Last week, we commented on slavery, and I suggested that we have a very narrow view of what it is contemporarily. And in fact, it is something much broader. So his job was to teach righteousness and justice to everybody that he had influence over. He tells Abraham, and the Lord God said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. The last time we heard this kind of talk was just before the great flood. So the imaginations of man's hearts are evil continually from his youth. And there was great violence on the earth, great violence. And we saw the mixing of kinds before the great flood. The mixing of kinds between different animals, animals and humans, the angelic beings and mankind. And God, it was hideous. They did not reproduce after their own kind, but in fact, mixed kinds. Now again, with Sodom and Gomorrah, the Almighty says that the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. It's exceedingly grave. Then the men turned away from them there and went down towards Sodom, and Abraham was standing before the Lord. And this is where Abraham intercedes on behalf of the righteous. He says, yes, Lord, they're wicked men. They're wicked men there, but are you going to destroy everybody down there, the good with the righteous? Abraham came near the Lord and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Who lived in Sodom? Leif? Lot. Lot lived in Sodom. His own blood, his nephew lived in Sodom. Could have been a man his own age, like a brother to him. And he's essentially interceding for Lot. And he goes down, he said, look, if the city, you know, if they're all wicked except for 50, you can still wipe them out? The Lord says, no. How about 45? No. How about 25? No. How about 15? No. How about 10? No. How about 5? And the Lord says, even for 5, I won't wipe out the city. So the angels go down to the city. How many people come out of the city? You guys remember? 4. So he's interceding for Lot. And Lot, we'll find out, is taken away from judgment. He's taken out of the city before judgment comes by the grace and mercy of God. By the grace and mercy of God. And we ought to be interceding for our brethren as well who are still stuck in Sodom. And we're going to talk about Sodom. Remember, Lot is a righteous man. The Bible said he was a righteous man and his righteous soul was tormented day by day. Yet he made compromises with the world. Now, the two angels, these are angels, these men are the angels. They came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Who sits in the gates of the city? The leaders. The honored men, the leaders, the wealthy, the people of influence. And they make judgments and they make decisions. like Abraham, Lot welcomed them, and he was an excellent host. He prepared a feast for these two men. He prepared a feast for the two angels. It's amazing. He recognized these men as special men, as different, and he treated them as lords, gave them a great feast. Genesis chapter 19, verse 4, it says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old. Both young and old. The young were there too. How young's young? Younger than you. The young and the old. All the people from every quarter, they all came. They called on Lot and said to him, where are the men who came with you tonight? They're probably quite handsome angels, I'm guessing. Bring them out that we may have sexual relations with them. Okay, these are homosexual men. You've heard of the term sodomite? This is where it comes from. But Lot went out at the doorway, and he shut the door behind him. He said, please, brothers, don't act wickedly. So this is the first time that we know of Lot ever getting in the face of the city that he went to and saying to him, hey, this is wicked. You're acting wickedly. Of course, he justifies it, and he says, they're under my protection. They're under my house. He didn't say what you're doing is evil. He said, these are guests in my house. They're under my protection. That's your wickedness. And he sort of skirted by the issue of what they wanted to do to these men, rape them. And then he offers his daughters to them. Wow, Lot, really? Take my daughters. They've never been with a man. But don't touch these men under my care. So Lot, you spend a lot of time in Sodom, and next thing you know, you're going down a road that you shouldn't be going down. What is he doing here? First of all, he calls them his brothers. In what sense were the Sodomites his brothers, other than that he had chosen to live with them and become one with them? Biologically, they were not his brothers. Biologically, they were a Hamitic people. Biologically, the Sodomites were from Canaan. And Lot's not from Canaan. Lot's from Seth. Lot's from Eber. He has nothing to do with these people. They're not his brothers in any way, shape, or form. Yet he called them his brothers, fellow citizens, whatever it was. He identified with them and said, we're one with them. James 4:4 talks about those who are friends of the world become enemies of God. They are at enmity with the Almighty God. He offered them his daughters, and that's going to come back to haunt Lot. So what do the men of Sodom say? They said, Lot, stand aside. What do the men of Sodom say to us? Stand aside. Stand aside. The men of Sodom say to Fritz Berggren, stand aside. Don't be homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive. Stand aside. Don't you impose your morality on us. They're telling Lot, stand aside, and they're telling Christians today, stand aside. We'll do as we will do. And you know what then they said? They said, now we will treat you worse than them. Okay, they're going to do their bad things to these angels. And then they said to Lot, it says, we're going to do even worse to you. So here Lot is acting and pretending like they're his brothers. And the brothers, who weren't brothers at all, look at him and said, you think what we're going to do to them is bad? Wait till we get to you. We're going to do even worse to you. So the angels reached out and they bring Lot in back inside, and they struck the men with blindness, both small and great, so that they they worried themselves about trying to find the door. Angels struck them with blindness. They couldn't find the door to get in. They're going to violently assault these men and Lot. They're going to utterly degrade them and no doubt murder them. And so morning approaches, and the angels say to Lot, who do you have in the city? Who do you have in the city? We got to bring them out of this place. All right. And Lot's going, okay, well, I got my wife, my two daughters, and my two sons-in-law. That's six people. That's more than the five that God had promised. And angels are saying, we got to destroy this place. So we'll get the more than five out and we'll get them out of the town. So Lot goes out to find them. He goes out to find the sons-in-laws. Son-in-law looks at him and said, you're out of your mind, Lot. You're crazy. First of all, this is just our culture. This is what we do. This is how we roll. What is this stuff about judgment from God? There's no judgment from God. They thought he was out of his mind. So we're not going with you. You've been dabbling too much into your ancestors' religion, they probably said. So God answered Abraham's prayer, but it did not change his decision to destroy Sodom. The sons-in-law refused to believe. And remember, what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. The angel says, do not look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Angels say the outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. This is God at work in history. And in this case, he rained down fire and brimstone upon Gomorrah. But sometimes he just brings in other nations to wipe out nations. We've talked about that a lot in the book of Genesis, how God will use a set of nations to destroy another set of nations. He uses one nation to destroy another nation. He uses the wicked to destroy the wicked. And sometimes the righteous to destroy the wicked. So what was Lot went to Sodom. Bible says Lot was a righteous man, and his soul was tormented day by day. Despite all of Lot's choices, surely God had sent him there to be a witness and a testimony against Sodom. Yet Lot said, no, I'm going to live at peace. I'm going to call them my brothers. And he kept his mouth shut. And when judgment came, God says, get out of Sodom. And he didn't want to go. The Bible says he hesitated. And only because of Abraham's prayers did the angels force his hand and grab him and drag him out of Sodom. So our message today is, we need to leave Sodom. We got to leave Sodom. How do you leave Sodom? I realize we can't physically pick up and leave. Where is there left to go on the face of the earth? Is there a Christian nation left to go to? Part of what I do is I'm calling for the resurrection of Christendom and the rebuilding of Christian nations so that we perhaps have a place to go to. How do you leave Sodom? One, you speak out against Sodom. You must lift up your voice against the evil as Lot finally did. And as soon as he did, they said, we're going to do worse to you than we're going to do to those angels. You think what we're going to do to them was bad? Oh, wait till we get to you, buddy. You ain't our brother. You're going to speak against us? Yet Lot sold out. He said, hey, take my daughters. Just don't touch my guests. And he failed to raise his voice throughout his lifetime of living in Sodom. How do you leave Sodom? Number one, lift your voice. Number two, don't call them your brothers. Do not call them your brothers. They're not your brothers. They're not your fellow citizens. What fellowship does light have with darkness? What does goodness have in light with evil? Lot called them his brothers. They weren't his brothers, neither spiritually nor biologically. And they will not consider you a brother unless you support them. Right away, the evil man said, this one comes as an alien and is already acting as our judge. Now we will treat you worse than they. All right? As soon as you speak up, oh, they hate you. They hate you with an utmost hatred. And they're going to treat you worse than they would have to those angels. Number three, do not hesitate. Don't hesitate. Yet Lot hesitated. Finally, the angels grabbed him by the hand and pulled them out of Sodom. Don't hesitate. Number four, do not look back. Lot's wife yearned for the peace and place and security they had in Sodom, just like the ancient Hebrews did of Egypt. They said, let's go back to Egypt. It may have been tough, but it's better than out here in the desert. And here Lot's wife, she turns and looks back, yearning for what was behind her instead of what was in front of her. Yearning to be brethren and part of that culture rather than set apart for the Almighty God. Number five, do not beg God that you can still remain with the evil people. Flee as if your life depends upon it. How do you flee? Open up your mouth. Like I said at the beginning, I ain't any better than Lot. I was Lot. Just try to make my way through life. Try to make my way along. Keep my mouth shut. Try to do good with, you know, my little thing, my wife and my kids. Maybe God sent Lot there to raise his voice. And when it came right down to it, Lot wouldn't do it. God still had mercy on him. But we're going to find out that Lot's legacy was utterly destroyed. His biological legacy was destroyed. All right, so what happens? Lot leaves. His wife doesn't leave. His wife physically leaves, but she turns back in her heart. She's turned into a pillar of salt. So she's gone. His wife is gone. He goes with his two daughters. God even spared a little city called Zoar. They said, well, we're going to go to Zoar. Well, and then he got scared. He said, well, I can't stay here. God might destroy Zoar too. So he goes up into a cave in the mountains. Now get this. These two daughters, whom Lot had offered to the men of Sodom, they said, hey, man, this is a bummer. We're living in a cave. We ain't got a man. Men we were promised to, they're dead now. Let's sleep with Dad. Let's have sex with Dad, have kids with Dad. Where did they learn that? They learned it in Sodom. They went to the government schools in Sodom. They picked it up from the movies in Sodom, and the music in Sodom, and the friends in Sodom, and the cultures in Sodom. It seemed completely normal to them. Didn't bat an eye. Sodom not only affected, you know, it used to be like, you know, if, you know, why can't two consenting adults do what they want to do? Listen, sorry, kids are involved now. These two young women, I'm sure they were of, obviously they were of breeding age, but I doubt they hit 18 by that point. And they'd been so imbued in the culture of Sodom that they seemed, it seemed perfectly normal to do these things with their father. And the Bible says young and old alike came to do evil to these angels. The entire culture imposed this evil even upon the children. These aren't two 40-year-olds in the closet. The entire culture was degraded from this civilizational wide set of values that were not values at all. And they threatened death and worse to those that opposed them, as it is today. And as it is today, now you've got the LGBTQ agenda being shoved down the throats of our children in the government schools. I used to call them public schools, but let's be frank, they're government schools. And we really don't have a choice of what's taught there. Otherwise, the Ten Commandments would have never come off the wall. So when a civilization reaches the point where the children are infected with this kind of evil because of the actions of the adults and the lack of action of adults, lack of action of Lot. Remember, all of Nineveh repented when Jonah went and preached. All of Nineveh repented when Jonah went to preach. I can't be like Lot anymore. I had to change. I had to change. Fritz Bergen had to change. I can't be like Lot. I can't keep my mouth shut. I want more than to be let out of Sodom. I want to have a legacy through my children, through my descendants, through my children and my grandchildren, up to 1,000 generations. Lot bypassed that. Lot said, no, these are my brethren. I'm not going to challenge them. And as a result, his two kids, they get pregnant by their dad, and that results in two nations. Who are those nations? The Ammonites and the Moabites, two of the most evil nations in the Bible. Lot's legacy was two evil nations, the Ammonites and the Moabites. I don't want that to happen to me. Get out of Sodom. How do you get out of Sodom? Raise your voice. Don't hesitate. Flee while you can. Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he, God Almighty, overthrew those cities and all the valley and all that happened to the cities and what grew on the ground. And Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Here's some lessons. Here's some lessons about Lot. Sever your ties. Vocally renounce Sodom. Don't sit there in silence and call them your brothers. Flee for your life. Don't look back. Do not yearn for false unity with false brethren. Finally, what I'm going to tell you is that destruction is here. Destruction's on America. It's already here. It's here and it is coming. You got to flee for your life. Flee for your life now while there's still time. Do not hesitate. How are you going to flee? Number one, you better open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. If you think I'm joking, I would remind you of Lot's sons-in-laws. This is surely you are jesting. Surely you're jesting a lot. Come on, God's not going to destroy this. I'll flat out tell you, God will destroy this nation. God will destroy this nation if we do not repent and serve Jesus Christ. We are in the process of being destroyed now. And he will destroy this nation. Do not think I'm jesting. Like Lot's son-in-law said to him, oh, surely you're jesting. Yeah, you're just full of it, Lot. If you, like Lot, are making every possible excuse to stay, you'll become like Lot, and your posterity will result in evil. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate. They hesitated. And but for Abraham's prayers, they would have gone up in smoke too. As it was, Lot's legacy on earth was wrong. Lot is debased. The values of Sodom infected his wife, his children, and they went down a way of evil. Lot was a warning to Sodom, yet he failed to speak up. He failed to speak up and speak out. Could have cost him his life. Could have cost him his life. And he said, you know what? I kind of like living here. Kind of like getting along with my brethren. And he didn't do it. He sat in the gate. He called them his brothers. He had an honored position. And when God forced his hand, Lot was reluctant. Essentially, Lot is wiped out from history, even though his soul was saved. Not a position I want to be in. Sometimes you wonder, well, how do I make sure things are fine for my kids? Maybe speak up, flee Sodom, don't hesitate. Maybe your kids will realize that things are greater. How are your kids supposed to believe you if you don't even speak up against evil? Again, I'm preaching to myself. Every sermon I preach is a sermon to myself because I'm not any better than Lot ever was. Good morning, everybody. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. We're wrapping up, and I will do an after show this afternoon. But that's it for this beautiful Sunday morning. Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. Out for now.